The humidity in Alabama has a way of holding on to secrets, pressing them deep into the red clay, until the earth itself feels heavy with what it knows. In a town where every porch light serves as a silent witness, the line between a childhood grudge and a deadly vendetta is often thinner than the screen doors that rattle in the wind. This wasn't a crime born of shadow or a stranger in the night, but rather a slow-burning friction between people who had shared the same sidewalks and classrooms for years. When the silence of the outskirts was finally broken by the sharp crack of gunfire, it didn't just end a life. It tore a hole through the social fabric of a community that prided itself on knowing its neighbors. I've walked these perimeter fences and stared into the vacant eyes of the woodline, trying to map out the exact moment a teenage rivalry turned into a full-scale homicide investigation. This is the case of Brooklyn Hargrove. The investigation began in the early morning hours, when the dew was still thick on the high grass near the edge of the county line. We arrived to find a scene that felt staged by the sheer stillness of the rural backdrop, a stark contrast to the violence that had unfolded just hours prior. Brooklyn Hargrove was a 17-year-old girl whose life was inextricably linked to the social ecosystem of this small Alabama community, where reputations are built over decades and destroyed in seconds. In the weeks leading up to the incident, the atmosphere in the local high school had become increasingly toxic, fueled by a dispute that had migrated from the hallways to the unregulated territory of social media messaging apps. I spent the first several hours of the morning walking the perimeter of the primary site, looking for any physical indication of a struggle or a forced stop. The initial statements from those in the inner circle described a situation that had spiraled far beyond the typical posturing of teenage drama. It was clear from the onset that we were dealing with a conflict that had been nurtured by proximity and a lack of intervention from those who saw the warning signs. My team and I began the process of knocking on doors, speaking to residents who had heard the tires screeching and the shouting that preceded the final confrontation. Every interview added a new layer of complexity to the victim's final day, painting a picture of a young woman who found herself trapped in a cycle of escalating threats. We documented the tire tracks left in the soft shoulder of the road, noting the erratic patterns that suggested a high-speed pursuit or a desperate attempt to flee. The lead-up to the homicide was not a single event, but a series of calculated choices made by multiple individuals who had allowed their anger to override their judgment. By the time the sun reached its peak, we had identified the primary players in the rivalry, but the true motive remained buried under layers of local bias and defensive posturing. I focused my attention on the timeline of the afternoon, tracking the movements of the involved vehicles through various home security cameras that dotted the route leading out of town. It was a painstaking process of connecting the dots between a chance encounter at a local gas station and the final, fatal stop on that darkened stretch of pavement. The turning point in the evidence collection came when we secured the mobile devices of the primary suspects and a handful of witnesses who had been present during the altercation. I sat in a sterile processing room for 12 hours, reviewing the data extraction, which provided a chilling, real-time log of the hostility that had been brewing. The murder tape chronicles are often built on digital ghosts, and this case was no different, as we recovered a sequence of voice notes that detailed the specific intentions of the aggressors. One particular recording, lasting only 45 seconds, captured the sounds of the pursuit, including the frantic breathing of those inside the car and the verbal taunts being shouted over the roar of the engine. Digital logs showed that the suspects had been tracking Brooklyn's location through shared social media features, turning a public platform into a hunting tool. I reviewed the recovered video from a bystander's phone that showed the moment the vehicles came to a halt, a shaky and frantic perspective that documented the rapid transition from words to weapons. The audio on this recording was the most damning piece of evidence, as it captured the distinct sound of a handgun being racked, followed by the unmistakable cadence of rapid fire. We cross-referenced the metadata from these files with the GPS coordinates from the vehicle's onboard systems to confirm that the confrontation was not a defensive act. My analysis of the crime scene evidence showed that the shots were fired from a distance that suggested an offensive posture rather than a heat-of-the-moment reaction. We recovered several, .40 caliber shell casings from the grass, their shiny brass casings standing out against the dull earth, like markers of a catastrophic failure in human conflict. The forensic team processed a secondary piece of evidence, a discarded sweatshirt found in a nearby drainage ditch, which contained both gunshot residue and biological material matching one of the suspects. I spent the following days reconstructing the ballistic trajectory, proving that the fatal round had entered the vehicle at an angle that contradicted the suspect's initial claims of a fair fight. Every digital ping and physical fragment pointed toward a coordinated effort to corner and intimidate the victim. A plan that reached its terminal point when the first trigger was pulled. The weight of the evidence was overwhelming, stripping away the excuses of accidental discharge or self-defense that had been floated during the early stages of the interrogation process. The conclusion of the legal proceedings brought a sense of clinical finality to a case that had otherwise been defined by raw emotion and community outrage. We presented the comprehensive timeline to the district attorney, showing that the murder of Brooklyn Hargrove was the direct result of a rivalry that had been allowed to fester without consequence. The forensic evidence was the cornerstone of the prosecution's case, leaving the defense with little room to navigate around the recorded threats and the physical ballistics. During the trial, the courtroom was filled with the heavy silence of a town forced to look at its own reflection in the evidence displays. The suspect, a 19-year-old male who had been a prominent figure in the local social scene, was found guilty of murder and sentenced to a significant term in the Alabama Department of Corrections. We watched as the families on both sides of the aisle processed the reality that no verdict could undo the damage caused on that rural road in 2023. The final report I filed emphasized the factual nature of the digital trail, noting that the technology intended for connection had been weaponized to facilitate a homicide. There were no grand gestures or moments of cinematic closure when the handcuffs were clicked into place for the final time. The investigation ended with the filing of boxes and the clearing of evidence lockers, a process that felt hollow in the face of such a preventable loss. I stood in the parking lot of the courthouse and looked toward the horizon, thinking about the high-speed pursuit and the messages that could never be unsent. The case of Brooklyn Hargrove remains a matter of public record, a series of coordinates and timestamps that document the end of a life and the beginning of a long, cold sentence. My role in the investigation concluded with the finality of the sentencing hearing, leaving the narrative to be held by the archives and the memories of those who lived through it. The red clay of Alabama eventually covered the tire tracks, and the humidity continued to press down on the quiet streets, but the facts of the murder remained unchanged. We closed the file on the small-town rivalry, knowing that the evidence spoke more clearly than any witness ever could.